Scholars find many African elements in American culture. For example, most believe that the banjo was adapted from a centuries-old lute found throughout West Africa. When writer and guitarist Banning Air was studying music in Mali earlier this year, he had the chance to introduce lute players there to the five-string banjo, and Air found that the Malian players picked it up quite easily.
In his highly regarded book, Deep Blues, musicologist Robert Palmer observes that 18th-century slave owners in the Appalachian states had a preference for black slaves from the western coast of Africa. These African slaves would certainly have been familiar with the lute, variously known as halam, hodu, ngoni, or banya. Palmer goes on to note that the modern banjo seems to have developed in those same American states. During my stay in Mali, I encountered the African lute known there as the ngoni. Here's one of Mali's top ngoni players, Baseku Kouyaté, playing a traditional manding tune. The ngoni and the banjo not only sound related, they look similar too. Both instruments use as their resonating chamber a drum with a skin head, rather than a resonating box like the guitar or the mandolin use. Also, like the banjo, the African instrument has a short string at the bottom that produces a high drone note, and in both cases, that string is usually played with the thumb. The African lute has no frets, but neither did the first banjo, and both instruments are played with what musicologists call a brushless technique. Basically, that means you play lines of notes rather than chords. While I was in Mali, an American banjo-playing friend, Dirk Westervelt, visited me. The ngoni players I knew were very interested in his banjo, and the good ones could play it readily. Listen to ngoni player Adama Tunkara picking out a traditional Malian tune on Dirk's banjo. Later on, Adama teamed up with another young ngoni player, Fode Sako, and they put the banjo and the ngoni together on the traditional griot standard, Jaura. You can certainly tell the two sounds apart, but notice the way they both have the same sharp, percussive tone quality. In Deep Blues, Robert Palmer writes that at least some white musicians learned to play the banjo from blacks. And for most of the 19th century, there were both black and white string bands in America, often playing the same repertoire of British, French, and American tunes. But as the blues and other new musical styles came into their own, black musicians tended to leave the banjo aside, and so for the most part, it was white musicians who continued with the banjo and went on to develop bluegrass and country music. These musicians developed the contemporary frailing and claw hammer styles, which differ considerably from the African approach, in which the forefinger is extended and plays much like a pick. My friend Dirk wondered what a Malian would do with one of the old American tunes, and eventually he found a game musician to work with, Ngoni veteran Sion Sissoko. Dirk taught Sion how to play Shooting Creek, an old Appalachian standard. What does all this prove? Perhaps nothing, but for the musicians involved, there was a feeling of completing a circle. Seeing how easily African and American music changed hands in Mali made me realize how much musical history we don't know from the early American centuries. So many seminal encounters went unrecorded. No wonder we have such a hard time understanding the true origins of American folk music.
Banning Air is the co-author of Afropop, an illustrated guide to contemporary African music.